across the country. At every single turn, their goal is to enshrine anti-trans discrimination in the law, because what they are doing is using trans people as a road test in order to try to figure out how to disenfranchise and marginalize and strip citizenship away from millions of Americans who disagree with them.
So what are you doing about this?
So I think that what we do is tell people what's happening. I think that what we do is to underscore for people that this is not, again, it's not a cultural war. It is a political project that has broad implications for the rest of the country.
And finally, Ari Berman, they're saying driver's licenses are not enough. As many as 69 million people who've taken their spouse's name don't have a birth certificate matching their legal name. More than 140 million U.S. citizens don't possess a passport, which, by the way, costs something like $165 to apply for one. We have just 30 seconds.
Well, the SAVE Act is a modern day poll tax in so many different ways. They're trying to make it seem like it's requiring documentation that everyone has. It's requiring documentation that people don't have, that's expensive to get, that people don't carry around with them every single day. So this is not a voter ID bill. This is a show your papers bill. It would have far reaching ramifications. Many more people would be affected by this than Republicans suggest. And it's just crazy that this is the thing that Republicans are focusing on when there's so many other problems in the world. It's doomed to failure, but the worry is that when it fails, Trump is going to take more extreme action to try to interfere with the midterms. This is just the beginning of a much bigger fight over the president's desire to interfere in the midterm elections.
Ari Berman, I want to thank you for being with us, National Voting Rights Correspondent.
I am Dr. Demento. I am here in a land of happy, freaky people. KBOO Portland.
Friday, March 20th at 6 p.m., KBOO makes everything metal. Somehow, the Metal March returns again in 2026, taking over even more of the airwaves. It's 12 whole hours of live bands and DJ sets from your favorite KBOO metal hosts. March 4th and support metal on KBOO. Tune in to the Metal March Marathon, Friday, March 20th at 6 p.m. through Saturday, March 21st at 6 a.m. only on your community radio station, KBOO Portland.
Support for KBOO comes from its members and from the film Finding Lucinda, presenting a movie screening and live music tribute to Lucinda Williams at Craven Gravy Social Club in Portland on March 21st. Tickets and information available at findinglucinda.com.
And now, your daily volunteer-produced community newscast, the KBOO Evening News.
Coming up on the KBOO Evening News, a Portland city councilor tells a real estate developer to, quote, shut your racist mouth, unquote.
Three recent fires threaten a local homeless hygiene nonprofit's work.
And Portland leaders consider renaming Cesar Chavez Boulevard.
Good evening. This is the KBOO Evening News for Friday, March 20th, 2026. I'm Sam Bowman.
And I'm Robert Barncord. Portland City Councilor Steve Novick told a disgraced real estate broker via email to, quote, shut your racist mouth. Developer Brian Ohendorf was caught texting racist and homophobic remarks about progressive Portland City Councilors to future Portland activists during the council president debate in January. This week, Ohendorf emailed Mayor Keith Wilson and all the city councilors about a study on housing policy out of Austin, Texas. Novick responded by replying all and telling him, quote, Mr. Ohendorf, shut your racist mouth and stop cluttering up our emails, unquote. In a second email, minutes later, Novick wrote, quote, in addition, Mr. Ohendorf, I would strongly advise you to expletive yourself in the heart, end quote. For his part, Ohendorf says he wasn't being racist, that the article exposing his texts was a, quote, political hit piece, and that he was in shock over Novick's comments. Novick told Oregon Live after the fact, quote, I thought that it was important to let him know that after his racist comments about my colleagues, he is very much persona non grata at City Hall, end quote.
A local nonprofit offering hygiene services to homeless Portlanders faced three fires in the past 2 months and says it needs community support to continue its work. Hygiene for All operates under the east side of the Morrison Bridge in Portland. They offer showers and survival supplies, all the while acting as a community hub for homeless residents local to the area. There were two fires that impacted two water tanks and two portable toilets. More recently, on March 7th, someone threw a burning piece of cardboard into a dumpster, setting it on fire. No one was injured, but the fire burned the plastic windows out of a tool shed and another pod that holds clothing, bedding, and cleaning supplies. Portland officials say they've arrested a suspect for that fire. Hygiene for All Executive Director Sandra Comstock told the Portland Mercury that the group's insurance doesn't cover temporary structures, so she won't be able to recoup that cost. Comstock said, quote, "There's so much need right now, and there's been so many cuts. I'm not getting the same grants that I usually was able to get before," end quote. Comstock has turned to mutual aid groups and others to help raise funds for the hygiene nonprofit. The fires come at a time of scarcity for local governments when it comes to homeless spending. Federal support has been cut back, and new oversight requirements at the Housing and Urban Development Agency have local officials worried about how it will impact their programs.
The Portland City Council is in recess until March 30th, with no council or committee meetings scheduled in the meantime. When the council comes back in session at the end of the month, they'll start their new committee structure. The council passed an ordinance slimming their eight committees down to only five. The new committees include a committee of the whole, which all councilors are a part of, focusing on finance and governance. The other committees are public safety, housing and permitting, public works, and city life. In April, the city council will begin the budgeting process in earnest. A hearing on the mayor's proposed budget will be at 9:30 a.m. on April 21st, and the council must vote a budget through by mid-June. The city budget report in February showed the city needs $169 million in added funds to keep its current programs running for next year. Budget shortfalls have become common in the last few years at City Hall as pandemic-era funds end and regular costs increase with inflation. The shortfall includes $54 million for Mayor Keith Wilson's overnight homeless shelters. Councilors have indicated that they may not be willing to fund those shelters for a second year. Now, the councilors do have over $100 million in unspent money found in the Housing Bureau to reallocate. The council reconvenes on the week of March 30th.
Portland leaders are considering renaming Cesar E. Chavez Boulevard and Chavez Elementary School. Earlier this week, reporting from the New York Times revealed allegations of sexual abuse of minors by the Chicano labor leader. Now, leaders are considering how to rename the street, possibly in honor of Dolores Huerta, co-founder of the United Farm Workers, who spoke out about the abuse she suffered from Chavez. Huerta said in a statement, quote, "I am nearly 96 years old, and for the last 60 years have kept a secret because I believed that exposing the truth would hurt the farmworker movement I have spent my entire life fighting for," end quote. Portland City Councilor Candace Avalos posted on social media Wednesday that to start the process, they would need a petition with 2,500 signatures. Some have suggested returning the name Cesar Chavez Boulevard back to 39th Avenue. The numbered boulevard was named for Chavez in 2009. City code requires that streets can only be named after real people who made an impact on the community and who have been dead for at least 5 years. Portland Public Schools says they are, quote, "processing the recent news" in regards to possibly changing the name of Cesar Chavez Middle School in North Portland's Portsmouth neighborhood. The district has a process for renaming schools involving a board vote and community engagement.
Washington Governor Bob Ferguson signs into law a ban on federal officers wearing masks or face coverings while on the job. Washington is now one of a growing number of states banning federal law enforcement from concealing their identities, as was commonplace during a surge of immigration arrests this fall and winter. State and local law enforcement have not been allowed to conceal their identities on the job, but the new law expands that to federal law enforcement. Ferguson also signed into law an act to ban people from impersonating law enforcement with fake vehicle markings or uniforms. Immigrant advocates celebrated the signing and are awaiting his signature on one further bill. This one restricts how the data collected by license plate cameras can be retained and shared. Ferguson has 2 weeks left to sign this into law. Oregon lawmakers have passed a bill to ban federal, state, and local law enforcement from wearing masks on the job. This one awaits Governor Tina Kotek's signature.
A bill going through the U.S. Congress would provide rebates in an attempt to counter higher prices brought on by President Donald Trump's tariffs. The Supreme Court struck down the tariffs that Trump implemented last year using the International Emergency Economic Powers Act. The president is now promising a second round of tariffs, and some lawmakers want more consumer protections in place. KBOO reporter Uchenna has more.
Tariff rebates would become available to Pacific Northwest residents under a proposed federal bill. The Tariff Relief for Consumers Act would use the estimated $166 billion collected from tariffs to reimburse taxpayers. The act would provide relief from the high costs of everyday goods. The Supreme Court ruled last month that certain tariffs ordered in 2025 by President Donald Trump were illegal. In response to the decision, Trump introduced temporary 15% global tariffs using a different legal authority. Connecticut Representative Rosa DeLauro, the bill's sponsor, says these refunds are needed by everyday Americans.
The bill prohibits companies receiving refunds from paying out dividends or conducting stock buybacks until they have provided relief to consumers, because my view is that consumers and small businesses need to come before the wealthy shareholders.
DeLauro says another piece of proposed legislation, the No Gouge Act, would reduce the sting of companies passing on these costs to consumers.
It prohibits price gouging by the largest corporations, protects small businesses, and it's got a methodology for enforcement. So it requires reporting on the impact of tariffs and the enforcement of the bill on the prices of consumer goods.
Many companies have raised prices to account for new tariffs. These costs are passed on to the consumer in higher price tags on cars, machinery, and computer and electronic products. For KBOO News and Public News Service, I'm Uchenna.
Wisconsin lawmakers passed a bipartisan bill this week to regulate cryptocurrency kiosks. The legislation adds protections like daily transaction limits, fraud warnings, and fee caps to combat widespread scams that have cost residents significant amounts of money. The law also allows potential recovery for victims. Another proposed cryptocurrency law would make it easier for residents to earn passive income from their digital currency. Judith Ruiz Branch has the story.
A newly passed Wisconsin law will establish consumer protections for cryptocurrency kiosks, addressing fraud prevention issues affecting residents across the state. The legislation includes safeguards like a $1,000 daily transaction limit and mandates that machine operators display fraud warnings to alert potential users about scam risks. The bill also caps fees operators can charge customers. Aaron Fabrizius with AARP Wisconsin notes investigations from multiple states show a high percentage of crypto ATM transactions are scams.
We've heard from Wisconsinites across the state who have lost thousands, sometimes their life savings, to these machines.
State data shows Wisconsin residents lost more than $5.4 million to cryptocurrency scams in 2025. The law also has a provision for scam victims to potentially recover their losses. The bipartisan bill, which passed unanimously in the state Senate this week, now awaits signature from Governor Tony Evers. Wisconsin has more than 700 cryptocurrency kiosks across the state, typically located at gas stations and convenience stores. Fabrizius explains the importance of recognizing potential scams and warns that legitimate entities never direct individuals to deposit money at crypto ATMs.
Scams are unfortunately very prevalent, and with increases in technology becoming very sophisticated. And I think what's always important to note is that these scammers are skilled in emotional manipulation.
A different proposed law in Wisconsin would make it easier for residents to earn passive income from cryptocurrency through a process called staking. It would update state regulations that currently restrict the activity. For Wisconsin News Connection, I'm Judith Ruiz Branch.
In other national news, the Pentagon has requested billions in supplemental funding for the Iran war as the Senate continues its marathon debate on the SAVE Act. And Mark Wayne Mullen is moving ahead in his bid for DHS confirmation. With those stories and more, it's Zamon Perez with 2026 Talks.
Welcome to 2026 Talks, where we're following our democracy in historic times.
Epic Fury is different. It's laser-focused. It's decisive. Our objectives, given directly from our America First president, remain exactly what they were on day one.
Defense Secretary Pete Hegseth insists the Iran war won't become a quagmire as he asks Congress for a $200 billion supplemental appropriation. Critics maintain the administration lacks clear objectives or an exit strategy for a war that's killed 13 U.S. service members and possibly 1,000 civilians. The White House is giving differing answers on the possibility of sending in troops. Under pointed questions from Congress, officials have now testified that little intelligence showed Tehran was close to developing a nuclear weapon. 3 weeks in, the average price of gas has risen by a quarter, and the conflict is having a domestic political impact. Sabato's crystal ball has moved six governor races toward Democrats in hotly contested battleground states. On Capitol Hill, the Senate continues its marathon debate on the SAVE Act, a priority for President Donald Trump that would require strict proof of citizenship to register or vote. Election officials say it could disenfranchise millions. Connecticut Secretary of State Stephanie Thomas cites married women who took their husbands' last names and those without easy access to a birth certificate or passport.
And for millions of eligible American citizens, these documents can be hard to find at best, expensive, or even impossible to get at worst.
Democratic senators have introduced a long-shot amendment that would limit federal control of elections, which the president says he favors. The U.S. received a downgrade from the Varieties of Democracy Institute, which says freedom of expression is at its worst since World War II, due to suppression of independent media and dissenting voices. Environmental advocates say a trend towards voter suppression and authoritarianism is especially hard on historically disenfranchised communities. Justin Kwasa is with the League of Conservation Voters.
Communities that have suffered the worst impacts of environmental injustice also traditionally haven't been allowed to be a part of the voting process. We need to have a strong democracy and we need to have these communities participate.
A federal judge in Washington state is demanding answers from the Department of Justice over basic procedural failures when suing to get access to unredacted voter data. Similar efforts have stalled in several states. Washington is also the latest state to prohibit law enforcement from wearing masks on duty. Oregon and Virginia lawmakers passed similar legislation, but a court in California has struck down the first such law. State Representative Edwin Obras says the Washington law will help ease people's fear of being swept up off the street.
They felt afraid that their partner, their family members were going to be taken away.
In the wake of disturbing revelations about the late Chicano labor icon Cesar Chavez, organizations and local governments are quickly moving to take his name from streets and celebrations. Chavez is accused of multiple cases of rape and sexual abuse. Oklahoma Senator Mark Wayne Mullen's bid to lead Homeland Security moved out of committee in an 8-7 vote. I'm Zamon Perez for Pacifica Network and Public News Service. Find our trust indicators at publicnewsservice.org.
You are listening to the KBOO Evening News. Stay tuned after this newscast for Counterspin, your look behind the headlines with fairness and accuracy in reporting. At 6 tonight, it's the start of KBOO's Metal Marathon, broadcasting live bands and DJ sets until 6 a.m. tomorrow. And then tomorrow at 9 a.m., the Bluegrass Marathon begins. Tonight's weather will be cloudy with an overnight low of about 50 degrees, and tomorrow's weather will be sunny with a high of only 55. Today in history, in 1985, Libby Riddles becomes the first woman to win the 1,300-mile Iditarod Trail Sled Dog Race. The quote of the day is from the Roman poet Ovid in his poem Metamorphoses. He wrote, quote, "Time, in its stealthy gliding, cheats us all. Without our notice, nothing goes more swiftly than do the years."
Trump's new pick to head the Department of Homeland Security, Oklahoma Senator Mark Wayne Mullen, has cleared a key committee vote with bipartisan praise. With that story and more, it's Antonia Gonzalez with National Native News.
This is National Native News. I'm Antonia Gonzalez. After overcoming a cringeworthy confirmation hearing over his combative past comments, U.S. Senator Mark Wayne Mullen's nomination to be the next Homeland Security Secretary cleared a key committee vote. Correspondent Matt Laszlo reports on the bipartisan relationships he's built over his decade in Washington.
Contrary to the tough guy you may have seen on your screen picking fights with union bosses or Senate committee chairs, Senator Mullen has lots of fans in Congress. New Mexico Democratic Senator Ben Ray Lujan serves with Mullen on the Senate Indian Affairs Committee.
Well, I may have some policy disagreements with Senator Mullen. Mark smart. That's who he is, you know? So I don't know that there's anything out of sorts there. It's just that's just who he is.
Lujan says Mullen's been a key ally on the other side of the aisle in today's divided Washington.
Not just, you know, Democrat, Republican. He's been a member that tribal leaders have sought out to support different efforts.
While Mullen's Cherokee Nation, he stepped into a 137-year-long fight last year and played a pivotal role in helping North Carolina's Lumbee tribe gain full federal recognition over protests from other tribes. North Carolina Republican Senator Ted Budd says Mullen was pivotal.
He thought that the opposition by the Eastern Band of Cherokee Indians in North Carolina was incorrect, and so as an enrolled Cherokee, he supported the Lumbees, and it's always appreciated.
Kansas Democratic Congresswoman Charisse Davids is an enrolled member of the Ho-Chunk Nation. For her first two terms, she overlapped with Mullen in the U.S. House. Besides the two both being former MMA fighters, Davids says Mullen and her put partisan differences aside and worked together for Indian country.
When he was in the House, we worked on quite a few tribal-related things, yeah, including trying to stabilize ICWA, Indian Child Welfare Act, and then also on like foster programs and that kind of stuff. So we've been able to work together.
Masked ICE agents may garner the national headlines, but David says she's watching to see how Mullen handles the other parts of the sweeping Homeland Security Agency that outgoing Secretary Kristi Noem neglected.
I'm hopeful that he will be much better in terms of leading the department. Of course, there's hot button issues, but when you think about FEMA and the importance of FEMA functioning, of our TSA folks.
For National Native News, I'm Matt Laszlo in Washington.
The Bureau of Indian Education is offering a career pathway for tribal students looking at wildland firefighting jobs. KJZZ's Gabriel Pietrazio has more.
High schoolers across six BIE-run schools are participating, including Northwest High School in Shiprock on the Navajo Nation.
This just happened to occur organically.
Carmelia Bacenti is Dene and Chief Academic Officer for the Bureau of Indian Education. She credits President Trump's executive order on expanding educational freedom. They're also pitching the curriculum to colleges.
We are trying to somewhat steer them towards being stewards of our lands. That doesn't always happen.
Gar Fisher's with the BIA Division of Wildland Fire Management. He says they're teaching coursework about leadership, fire suppression, and FEMA readiness. Once done, students put their training to the test during a field day.
They get to put the gear on, how it feels, they get to look like a firefighter.
That equipment is expensive, says Bacenti, which is why the BIE is buying it now. For National Native News, I'm Gabriel Pietrazio.
And I'm Antonia Gonzalez.
Amid rising deportations nationwide, the Peace and Justice Action League is training hundreds of people in rapid response and accompaniment for ICE detentions. The group will host its Peace and Justice Action Conference on March 21st, with the theme, From Survival to Vision, which is aimed at shaping a more just and liberated future. KBOO's Stuart Duncan has more on the story.
The Peace and Justice Action League of Spokane is bringing together advocates from across the Pacific Northwest this weekend for its annual Peace and Justice Action Conference. Organizer Chantel Jackson says the group works year-round on issues including racial equity, human rights, and crisis response. She says, as deportations rise in Spokane, the League is partnering with the Washington Immigrant and Solidarity Network to expand rapid response training across the state.
Also accompaniment training. So if someone wanted to volunteer to accompany people to ICE appointments, we've also partnered with orgs to bring that training. And our last Rapid response training, we had over 400 people in person.
Jackson says the group also runs a peacekeeper program that trains residents in de-escalation tactics during protests and other public events. New data from the University of Washington's Center for Human Rights shows immigration enforcement surged across the Pacific Northwest late last year. From October through December 2025, federal arrests in Alaska, Oregon, and Washington climbed to nearly 2,300, a sharp rise from the fewer than 250 arrests seen in late 2024. Jackson says the conference will feature 15 sessions led by community organizers and regional leaders, meant to give participants practical tools to advance justice and equity. This year's theme, From Survival to Vision, focuses on shaping a fairer future, with one session highlighting the boycott, divestment, and sanction movement.
So people will learn about what that means, and what the presenters will be asking people is, we're not trying to boycott every terrible thing that's out there, but what is one action that you can take in your day-to-day life that will help the movement along?
Jackson adds the conference will feature a keynote address and workshop by Aaron Dixon, founder of the Seattle chapter of the Black Panther Party and longtime activist for racial justice and community empowerment. For KABU News and Public News Service, I'm Stuart Duncan.
Home energy upgrades can help older residents stay in their homes. In Illinois, Senior Services Plus is helping older residents lower energy costs with free insulation, heating upgrades, and other improvements. Dr. Anthony Lizowitz has more on the story with Climate Connections.
I'm Dr. Anthony Lizowitz, and this is Climate Connections. An Illinois nonprofit is helping senior citizens stay in their homes by making their homes more energy efficient. Many seniors on low or fixed incomes struggle with rising energy costs. To save money, some allow their homes to get dangerously hot in summer or cold in winter, and some even have to move out and find a new place to live. Gordon Vumard works on weatherization and energy efficiency with the nonprofit Senior Services Plus.
We've served a number of clients who are being priced out of their own homes that they've owned for years, decades in some cases, simply because they can't afford to heat or cool them anymore.
Vumard's group helps seniors get help from Ameren, the local utility, and other groups to pay for energy efficiency upgrades, like insulation, new heating systems, or smart thermostats. The group makes home repairs and installs the upgrades for free, and then teaches the homeowners how to use their new appliances. These upgrades make homes more comfortable and can save residents a lot of money.
What we hear back is typically about improvements to power bills and then improvements to quality of life that clients didn't even realize was related to the energy efficiency of their home.
And for some seniors, these savings may allow them to stay in their homes longer as they age. Climate Connections is produced by the Yale Center for Environmental Communication. To learn more about climate change, visit climateconnections.org.
Now, it's time for The Point Puzzle, the weekly radio brain teaser produced by Pearl Stark at KPOV in Bend. This week, the puzzle involves flowers, wordplay, and food.
It's time for the puzzle.
Last week, I asked you to start with an item from an upcoming holiday. Change an S to a C, drop the last three letters, and rearrange what's left to get what that item might represent. You can rearrange the letters again to get when the holiday occurs. Well, the answer is shamrock, which becomes charm, and march. Our winner this week is Georgiana Wilson, who listens to WUTC in Chattanooga, Tennessee.
We had 23 miles, and she stood Sarah Blass, and we called her the Irish Rover. Woo! Well, there was Barney McGee from the banks of the Lee.
For the new puzzle, start with a flower and two foods. Swap a letter from one food with a letter in the flower, and then combine the foods. You now have two words you may have heard this past weekend. So again, start with a flower and two foods. Swap two letters and then combine the foods. You now have two words that you may have heard this past weekend. When you have the answer, send your name, your answer, and the station on which you hear the puzzle to puzzle@kpov.org. I'll select one winner from among any answers received by this Saturday.
We're all here looking at you, ain't we? Give him a flower. Give him a flower. Give him a flower.
This has been Pearl Stark with your point puzzle for the week of March 16th. The Point Puzzle is produced at KPOV, High Desert Community Radio.
You're listening to the KBOO Evening News for Friday, March 20th, 2026. This is a volunteer-produced newscast, and we encourage your participation. Call or text us with your breaking news stories and tips at 971-801-1378. Our production team for tonight's newscast includes Stuart Duncan and Uchenna. The producer is Althea Billings, and our engineer is Jasmine Moss. Special thanks to Judith Ruiz Branch, Simone Perez, Pearl Stark, Antonia Gonzalez, and Dr. Anthony Lizowitz. The Director of Evening News is Althea Billings. A podcast of this newscast is available on our website at kboo.fm/eveningnews. You are listening to KBOO Portland on 90.7 FM, K282BH Philomath on 104.3 FM, and K220 HR Hood River on 91.9 FM. I'm Sam Bowman.
And I'm Robert Barncord. All of our KBOO programs, including the evening news, are supported by our members. If you would like to become a member and support our programming, you can go to kboo.fm/give or text KBOO to 44321.